this show is powerful. Knowledge Fight is powerful. So I was telling you when it was a covert, very small operation. It's let's not exaggerate. It's about 1,000 times bigger now. I really have nightmares about Knowledge Fight. Let's not exaggerate. It's got to be over 1,000 on the air on record.
1,000 shows.
Big deal.
They enjoy it. I mean, this is getting scary. These people are crazy. Very interesting people. Dan and Jordan. These are Kim Jong-un wannabes. And, of course, I've been listening to Dan since I was about 40. He's a multi-platinum recording artist, best known for the Wild Wild West remake with Will Smith. I just got called racist. Dan and Jordan do that a couple times a week. That's at least 300, 400, 500, maybe 1,000. 1,000 shows? I don't know. And I wasn't hurt that they called me names myself. I was hurt that they were so evil.
So, 1,000 episodes.
Knowledge Fight, Fight, Fight. It's not exaggerated. More than 1,000 Knowledge Fight shows. I'm being lied about and demonized usually a couple times a week. Dan and Jordan trying to psychologically inoculate the public that I'm a bad guy, that I'm an evil person, so I rarely respond to it. These people are bad. I really lay awake at night thinking how to beat them.
Happy 1,000th show.
1,000th show.
1,000th show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot is that wonderful 1,000th episode intro from Dan Arkey.
God damn.
DJ Dan Arkey crushes it once again.
Wild Wild West.
Thank you so much.
Perfect.
What a delight. Episode 1,000.
Too lucky.
Here we are.
Too lucky for any number of reasons.
Too lucky, too furious.
Yep, absolutely. Too
Tokyo
wild,
Drift.
Too west.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Ah, it was amazing.
It's amazing what you can make Alex say.
Yeah, if you've got a million hours of somebody talking bullshit,
mm-hmm.
you could probably get just about anything out of there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently I did Wild Wild West, and was I Artemis?
I guess.
Was I Kevin, what's his
Kevin,
name?
Boy, I almost said Nealon.
It's not
Kevin,
Nealon.
Kevin, and then I almost said, God damn.
Spacey?
No, Hogan.
Oh, a lot of Kevins.
Klein, Kevin Klein.
That's it.
Yeah.
So what's your bright spot? Kevin Klein?
My bright spot, far less, you know what? My bright spot, very down to earth, right? So a new puppy.
Yeah.
Been doing the whole thing.
Sure.
Now, the new puppy
well.
Has been in the mornings. We go on the morning walk, right? New puppy won't do their business. Won't do her business. So I got to take her out with the other two.
Mm.
They have to do their business. Then I have to drop them off back at home, then take her out again by herself.
Wow.
Right?
And needy.
It is not, it's not a big deal.
Sure.
It's fine. Happy to do it. Right? But this morning, didn't have to do it. All three at the same time, buddy.
Amazing.
It was, and I know it seems like it's not that big a deal. Game changer.
No, it is.
Game changer.
I see it. It's cold as hell in
yeah,
Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, at 5 degrees, yeah.
Yeah.
It was
a huge deal to have to go out twice.
It was a lot easier when it was warmer.
I hope it's not just a one-off, though. I hope this is a sign of behavior change.
I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah.
She and Jake were even playing this morning.
Do you think that it's a situation where if you take the two out, and leave the one behind, the one would poo in the house?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah.
But we never leave them alone in the house without them. We always put them up in the crate if they're alone.
Sure.
Just, it's better for them. It's safer for them. They don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad there's progress. I'm glad for you there's cohesion in the home.
I'm telling you, they're becoming a pack.
Yeah.
We're all a pack.
One of these days, you're going to be mushing with them. You're going to have these are going to be your snow dogs.
You know. We haven't really had this type of relationship. Weirdly enough, but like, would you prefer if I send you all the pictures that I take of my dogs?
Curated a little.
Curated a little.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that you take a lot.
I've got a group chat with my wife and her mom where we just.
No.
Oh yeah. You don't want
need
any
all
of, that.
Of those. But
would you like more?
Periodically, it would be okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, would you like them though? I'm not trying to force them on
I would
you.
Glance at it and be like, "Oh, that's cute."
Okay.
And
enough.
Then I'd move on.
Fair enough.
It
fair
wouldn't
enough.
Be bad.
Right. No, I'm just saying that that's kind of how we've we have had an unspoken, like, yeah. We don't just send pictures of it. Because you send pictures of Celine to people.
Rarely. She's hard to photograph.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so usually I have to have, like, really serious intent to take a picture.
Yeah.
Whereas I know that you're just willy-nilly taking pictures of these dogs.
It is not hard.
Yeah.
They're underfoot.
Yeah, they're a little bit of, they want their close-up.
Sure, you know, sure.
They're show-offs.
You know, I'm just saying, but you've never taken pictures of Celine and sent them to me.
That's not true. That's definitely not true.
Not never, obviously. But I've never not sent you pictures of dogs either.
But I think the percentage of pictures I've taken of Celine that I've sent to you is way higher.
Yeah, but that's understandable, I think, for the reasons we've said earlier.
Right.
I have a bottomless well.
Yeah. I think, look, here's the deal.
What's the deal?
It's not going to offend me. It's not going to severely positively impact my life, but it's welcome.
Fair enough. All right. This is what we spend $1,000 talking about.
Yeah. I think that your dogs are cute.
It's time we get this shit handled, all right?
This is how
you and me
hash out our relationship of whether it's really okay to send dog pics.
Let's really do this, okay? It's time.
Oh, God. So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over that is not just about this.
Okay.
Dog pick.
All right.
Regulation. we have January 20th, 2025.
Oh, great.
The day of Trump's inauguration.
Good day.
To go over.
Yeah.
A lot to say, a lot to think. But we'll get to it here in a second. Let's first get to some policy walks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, I'm Tango, and I love the way Dan always prefaces Nikki Gifts with my buddy, except that one time he didn't, and I'm still not over it. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I didn't realize that.
Mm.
I don't know. My buddy Nikki Gifts is a good guy.
It's been 1,000 episodes. We've mentioned him more than once.
I also say my buddy Burger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You said your buddy,
These
Dr. Gums.
These are my Gums. Buddies. Yeah.
Well, you've also said Dr. Gums no longer finds me a buddy.
No, that's not true.
No.
We're fine.
I'm just kidding.
Next, Formulaic Objections is my favorite audiobook. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And hi, baby pine nut. It's your crystal prince. We're getting married tomorrow. I love you. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to Frankie, who's been a policy wonk since 2019, but only called Frankie since 2021. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk. I have risen above my enemies. I might quit tomorrow, actually. I'm just going to take a little breaky now. A little breaky for me. And then we're going to come back. And I'm going to start the show over. But I'm the devil. I got to be taken off here. I'm doing all this. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Fuck you. I got plenty of words for you. But at the end of the day, fuck you and your New World Order. And fuck the horse you rode in on. And all your shit. Maybe today should be my last broadcast. I mean, maybe I'll just be gone a month. Maybe 5 years. Maybe I'll walk out of here tomorrow. And you never see me again. That's really what I want to do. I never want to come back here again. I apologize to the crew and the listeners yesterday that I was legitimately having breakdowns on air. I'll be better tomorrow.
Debatable.
Debatable.
Well, I mean, he's in good spirits today.
Well, that's better. Yes. I suppose that's better. Yeah.
So here we are on the 1,000th episode of our show and an episode where Alex is going over the second inauguration of Trump.
Well,
I will say that I've had some trouble in the last days.
Yeah.
Reckoning with this.
Sure.
Kind of poetic reality that we have been forced into.
Mm.
Or has been foisted upon us.
I mean, yeah, I guess Dante's Inferno counts as poetry. So, yeah, poetic is right.
I assure you, and I know you believe me, and I hope the audience believes me as well, that I did not plan this out so our 1,000th episode would be happening when Trump gets back into office.
Alex is
at his greatest peak.
I am sorry. If I recall correctly, I have described you as a witch many times, so I don't necessarily believe that you didn't plan this out.
Well, but if it's witch stuff, it is deeply subconscious, and I'm not actually like sitting and like diagramming when episodes are coming out and like, oh, if we do a past episode here, then we'll get to 1,000 on that day.
Yeah. I will say this. I've been feeling similarly about the symmetry, if you will.
Simulation tree.
And there's a little bit of me that was like, oh, maybe this, maybe people are watching. Maybe I should masturbate less. Like that, like this, it would make more sense if people were watching as this is all a reality show of just the two of us and how we would respond to these wacky scenarios that fans came up with.
Yeah.
Tweet at what would be funny for Jordan and Dan's 1,000th episode. Two Trump terms.
Yeah. On Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Let's fucking do it. Let's really go
Elon
for it.
Elon Musk does a Nazi salute.
We got a bad box and chopped. That's what happened.
Holy shit. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of time that I spent, you know, sort of processing things in the wake of the inauguration and
sure.
Trying to figure out, is there a way that our 1,000th episode could not be about this? And I don't feel like there is.
It is what it is.
Yeah. We are here.
We are here.
Fuck.
Let's do it.
Here's where we start off with Alex.
Okay.
And I don't think it's totally unfair that he's basically declaring victory.
Okay.
We won an incredible victory on November 5th last year, just 76 days ago. Now, in mere seconds, we win an even bigger battle. The globalists are in total panic mode and complete collapse. The time has come. J.D. Vance just took the oath of office seconds ago. President Trump is about to step forward now on this Monday, January 20th, 2025 live transmission. You fought for this, America. And this is just the beginning of our victories. Let's go to the live feed from Washington, D.C., inside the retaken U.S. Capitol of the United States of America. This will be a day long remembered.
Chief Justice Roberts to administer the presidential oath of office.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
So we got the Duke. We got a Darth Vader impression.
Yep.
Celebrating the death of Obi-Wan.
Yep.
Trump taking office is like the death of Obi-Wan.
It feels cool. Confused.
It does a little.
It feels uncertain. Yeah.
But it's totally fair that Alex would be declaring victory like on a day like this. Totally. His guy got into office, and he's promised to enact a completely insane agenda that threatens to victimize all of the people Alex hates. International cooperation is going to be severely challenged, and the big business interests that Alex pretends to be opposed to are going to rake in record profits. The unwinding of the Civil Rights Act is marching onward and is poised to make considerable progress. It's all very bad. And this leads me to something that I've been struggling with in the past few weeks. Alex and his side have, for all intents and purposes, won at this point that we're at right now. Their project to take over the courts, incapacitate Congress, and create a monarchical figure of a president seems to have come into place, and simultaneously the project of poisoning the public discourse to the point where there's no real coherent media has paid huge dividends. The Democratic Party has very little traction to work from, and Trump is acting in ways specifically designed to keep them fighting in a defensive battle while his administration carries on toward their goal of dismantling every part of the state that helps the common people. The pundits are useless to the point where the conversation people were having was about how the left can create their own Joe Rogan. It's fucked as an idea or as a goal that people should pursue. Things are very bad, and I don't think it's sensational to say that it's hard to find much hope right now. When Trump first came into office, there were massive protests of hundreds of thousands of people, and it only did so much. The Democrats in office found grounds to impeach him twice, and it only did so much. The justice system convicted him of multiple felonies and would have likely convicted him of plenty more, but that only did so much. It's very hard to look at the U.S. as it exists right now and find any real hope for a path forward. It feels a lot like the early days of the Iraq War, where there was a right wing that was just unquestionably malicious and a left wing that was entirely ineffective at standing up to that in any way. It feels like that more than 2016 did to me, because 2016 felt terrible, but there was a sense of empowerment, like we could do something. And this feels a bit more hopeless than that. And that's something we're all going to have to process, because the reality is that we weren't powerless then and we aren't powerless now. It's just very difficult to figure out how we can express what power we have in these circumstances. That's something that I think is an individualistic process, so I can't really give anyone insight on how to do that, but I want to encourage people who are reflecting on those kinds of things to consider. But here's the trite thing that I can say with certainty. Alex's shit has won the day, but that doesn't mean it's right. He can, you know, I can eat some humble pie and recognize that in this moment, Alex has every reason to gloat and declare a nominal victory, but what I can't do is pretend that the things his victory were based on are real or accurate. He's still as full of shit as he's always been. He's just a guy who's full of shit celebrating his candidate's victory. It's a shallow point, and it provides literally zero comfort to anyone in the line of fire, but it is the truth. And he's still wrong. Does it mean anything? I don't know.
Eh. I mean, you know, it's always nice to revisit American history in moments like these. Because it's like, hey, man, we survived that. Did that.
Yeah.
Did that. Did that.
It's trite because a lot of people didn't. But yep. It is also the reality.
It's what do you, I mean, you know, like, hey, cling to what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke them if you got them, I guess. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, it's very hard to not feel disempowered in the moment of what is happening. You know, the moves that Trump is making immediately upon getting into office is about creating a giant mess that people are going, a big knot that people are going to be untangling and trying to deal with while he moves on to the next mess that he's going to create.
Yeah. A lot like Alex.
Yeah. And it's difficult to look at the past, the 8 years that we've been through, and see any solution that has worked.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be, you know, I would say it's very similar to Alex in a couple of ways in that, like, there have been times where the choice was made to be like, if we do it this way, it will work.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did that and it didn't work. You know?
Yeah, there's been cutting of slack and the benefit of the doubt that's been given unnecessarily to him.
All kind of reasonable people have made reasonable arguments that I think were totally rational to listen to in the time, and now we have to go like, well, they were wrong. So that is a thing that happened.
They're wrong by some standards.
Right. So
they're wrong if the end goal is removal of this problem.
Sure. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's kind of the thing. It is, you know, maybe we'll get him next time.
Sure. So Trump gets sworn in, and Alex has to vamp around a little bit while he waits for the inauguration speech to begin.
Gotcha.
As I've said for decades to you, I bet on you because I bet on myself and I bet on humanity because I bet on the God that made us. Let's go to this now without my commentary as the president prepares to give his second inaugural address after he won and the people won 8 years ago and then 4 years ago. They stole it publicly. They've been caught. They tried to kill Trump. We know of twice. They pulled out all the stops of the Justice Department trying to put me in prison and trying to shut this operation 3 times publicly, 5 times we know of since May 31st of last year. And that's another example of the battle goes on. InfoWars could be shut down as early as late next month, but we'll give you updates on that later today. I've not been covering it because we've been focused on this the last few weeks, but there's big developments.
Donald J. Trump.
We now take you live to Washington, D.C., to the retaken Capitol. Trifecta, legislative, executive, judicial. Now we've got to go in and clean up the blue infection areas of the cities. They are planting false flags. I'm sure of it. Race war is their plan. We'll stop them. We're ahead of them now. We're not naive. Thank you, God, for this moment. Thank you, Jesus.
Fill that time. Just say shit.
Wow.
Yeah. People are applauding, so Alex has got to, you know, talk over that.
That's fun.
People get bored if you don't bring up race wars and false flags and shit.
You know, it is fun because it's one of those silly moments that I always try and remember. It's like this, if you step back and look at all of these super wealthy people having to say 45th and 47th president, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. What are you people doing? Just move on.
It's
ridiculous.
It's depressing.
It's ridiculous.
So Trump gave his speech. He said a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah.
We'll listen to some of it because Alex listens to some of it.
Great.
And here's something about the cartels.
Okay. Wait, what?
The orders I signed.
An inauguration speech?
Will also be designating the cartels as foreign terrorist organizations.
Cool. Why applaud that? What does that even mean? What does it mean?
War with Mexico?
I guess.
And by invoking the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, I will direct our government to use the full and immense power of federal and state law enforcement to eliminate the presence of all foreign gangs and criminal networks, bringing devastating crime to U.S. soil, including our cities and inner cities.
That was a massive announcement. See, the globalists have had all these emergencies they've been ruling by, so the statutes are tied to those. By declaring these new emergencies, he takes all that over.
Commander-in-Chief, I have no higher responsibility than to defend our country from threats
that
and
was
invasions.
A huge announcement right there. I'm shaking by
huge.
What he's going to full war, folks.
I'm not over here trying to stand up for drug cartels, but Alex should really have a different take on this. A giant part of his career has been screaming about how executive orders and people seizing power by declaring emergencies is a very bad thing, full stop. It hasn't been a conditional thing where the people he opposes are using acceptable methods to pursue goals he disagrees with. The methods are the problem. If you listen to Alex through most of his career, you would think that leaders using the Hegelian dialectic pattern of problem, reaction, solution, that was inherently wrong. It was an affront to the public's ability to make decisions for themselves, and anyone who engaged in it is doing that to subvert your free will. You could also be forgiven for thinking that he was actually against predictive programming, regardless of what programming was being done. Or you might think that he actually cared about how a dictator-type leader unilaterally shooting off executive orders under the pretext of national emergencies. That was inherently wrong because the method was corrupt. It was an attempt to subvert the checks and balances of government, and it was an affront to the Constitution. But it's key to understand that Alex doesn't care about any of this stuff for its own sake. He's shaken and moved positively by Trump saying that he's going to declare an emergency in order to take action against immigrants that he would probably have stiff opposition to doing otherwise. Alex is pretending to be opposed to the tricks the globalists have supposedly been pulling all these years, but that's all just pretend. False flags are supposed to be bad because they're bad, not conditionally based on what they promote. And the same is true of using emergency powers to seize authority and do things you couldn't do otherwise. This is a betrayal of Alex's fundamental premise, which,
yeah.
I mean, we've seen plenty of that, but it's worth pointing out.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is very much like, man, I wish they had just said all that stuff about Obama and then been like, and we want our guy to do that.
Right.
You know, like, that would have made it would have been so much simpler. We could have had a much more adult conversation.
Right.
If they weren't lying to us the entire time.
Yeah, because the argument of like, hey, maybe having a, you know, executive who's able to just make executive orders of whatever they want. Maybe that is a power that is a little bit reckless.
Sure.
I think that is something that has broad appeal, and people can actually get on board, regardless of their politics, with like, yeah, you know what? We don't want a king. We should probably be overly careful about this.
Yeah.
And if you couch your argument in that, you'll find a lot more people agreeing with you than if you're just like, I don't like Obama.
Yeah.
He bad.
Yeah, it is. It is really interesting because when you look at where we are now, and you kind of just like put together the last 20 years, I understand that people are on different sides, but no one likes the government we have if you accurately describe it. Nobody's on team the government we have whenever you accurately go like, well, here's what we're doing number by number. Everybody has one thing where they're like, you guys should just not do that, you know?
Sure.
So it is strange. It is weird. It is a weird situation we're in.
Yeah, and I think that Alex one of his fundamental tricks is, you know, masquerading his arguments in ways that will find broader appeal, like saying, hey, the government we have isn't good.
Right.
Do you have a problem with the government that we have?
Right.
Yes, sure. Most people will emotionally and actually connect with that.
Sure.
But you're going to be agreeing with people who you can't possibly work with.
The problem is, like, I want the next government to be the government that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like everybody's like, oh, you're mad at the government you have. And then you continue to have that government.
True.
That's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
If they're like, oh, we'll give you this stuff. And then they don't. Mm-hmm. Which is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are very frustrated by that.
Yeah, that's fair. So Alex, he relishes watching the Clintons who are there at the inauguration.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
Okay. So
this is not rearranging deck chairs in the Titanic.
Record inflation. Feels like it if they're there.
That's over, folks.
Down costs and prices.
The Uniparty isn't fighting for its life right now. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is total political realignment, not just here, but worldwide.
The inflation crisis was caused by massive overspending and escalating energy prices, and that is why today I will also declare a national energy emergency. We will drill, baby, drill.
Bill Clinton's mouth is hanging.
Is this your inauguration speech?
He was a puppet. Even the crooks are just marveling right now. They know when they're beaten. You are beaten. It is useless to resist.
More Darth Vader? Says really, he's getting in the spirit.
I mean,
of the hero.
You know, it. I guess nobody ever asks the question: was the Emperor a better administrator?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just from a
efficient.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Just like from a pure, like sure. Just brute force standard. Would you prefer to live in the Empire because the Emperor is like, well, you know, the trains ran on time, that kind of thing.
You might note that Alex is not doing an impression of Darth Vader after he realizes he's bad.
The one where he's like, oh, I'm bad.
Yeah, he's not doing that. He's doing the cool villain.
Yeah. Ooh, being evil's awesome. I'm James Earl Jones. Yeah.
Cool, man.
I'm a melted white guy.
Yeah. You're telling on yourself a tiny bit.
A little bit.
So we're going to drill, baby, drill.
This is an inauguration. This is like a thank you for reelecting me speech.
Well, I don't think that there's anything wrong with just kind of laying out some policies and stuff. Like,
sure.
I don't have the same critique necessarily as you, but I do think it is a little pandery and a little playing for the applause.
Sure.
But there's some stuff about electronic vehicles, too.
Okay.
We will end the Green New Deal, and we will revoke the electric vehicle mandate. Saving our auto industry and keeping my sacred pledge to our great American auto workers.
Notice Musk has been promoting that too, going against his own financial interests for the Republic. Well, I just gush over Musk. I analyze everything he does. It's major sacrifices for everybody.
In other words, you'll be able to buy the car of your choice. We will build
that's different from
in
now.
America again at a rate that nobody could have dreamt possible.
Seven states just banned the sale of RVs.
Wow. So having an electronic vehicle mandate wouldn't make Musk anywhere near as much money as him buying a government efficiency office will. If you believe that Tesla would benefit in some massive way from EV legislation, like even if you do believe that, you're a goddamn idiot if you think that Musk is acting in ways that go against his best financial interests. For some context, according to CNN Business, Musk's net worth jumped almost 25% in the 2 weeks after Trump's election victory, saying, quote, "This is partly based on the assumption that future growth will be easier with Musk's offering advice on topics including artificial intelligence, self-driving vehicles, and the funding for agencies that have given his companies regulatory trouble." Being in the position Musk is in, with Trump owing him massively for all the campaign funds and with Musk owning a giant social media company, I don't think he's sweating the electric vehicle mandates. The amount his net worth jumped in those 2 weeks was about $64 billion, which is more than Tesla revenues for a year. Also, if he if it weren't for a huge investment from the Department of Energy and tax credits for that the government offered for people buying electric cars, Tesla would have been dead on arrival. It's fucking garbage bullshit Alex is presenting. Another small point. This thing about states banning RVs is a fake bit of information that Alex saw in a meme on Elon's social media site. There are a number of states that passed regulation requiring some manufacturers to make more zero-emission vehicles over the course of the next 10 years, but it has nothing to do with banning the sale of RVs. It's garbage. You couldn't really ask for a better, more succinct snapshot than that clip right there. Alex is carrying water for and kissing Elon Musk's ass, fraudulently presenting him as a self-sacrificing hero for the Republic, which is then followed up by Alex reporting a complete lie because he saw it on Elon Musk's website, which he supposedly bought so people could get better access to information. That's it. That's the world.
Yep.
Woof. Shitty.
Point made. Yep.
So Trump talks about the Department of Government Efficiency, which is the fake.
It's not thing that, well, really. Are we? If we're not even. They're not even going to do it.
Well, I feel like Vivek is out now.
Oh my
god! So it's just Elon
Musk.
It's
not even going to happen.
It's going to do something.
Ugh.
My administration will establish the brand new Department of Government Efficiency.
Doge.
Why are you clapping?
Here comes Musk.
You don't even know what it is.
Look out.
After years and years of illegal and unconstitutional federal efforts to restrict free expression, I will also sign an executive order to immediately stop all government censorship and bring back free speech to America.
Oh, my God. It's like night and day. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Please announce you're going to find the missing kids and prosecute Biden's people. Do it.
So yeah, I can't imagine a way that this executive order banning censorship is going to backfire in incredibly censorious ways.
I mean, hey, I'm just hoping, because I think it's about time. I'm just hoping we start getting more N-word in government offices, like straight up. Just let's just do it. Let's just full on start. Hey, you guys don't want to be censored anymore, right? Have the balls to say the N-word all the time. I bet you don't. Mm. I bet you don't. Well, oh, censorship is so scary. Say the N-word.
Well, I think that maybe something I'm more concerned about is this is going to be the way that people like Elon Musk are able to get rid of any criticism of Doge on his social media websites.
Who's gonna work there? What is your job title at the Department of Government Efficiency?
I don't know.
Like you're at a computer, like going. Is he going to hire people to go through budgets? Like, what does he even have an idea of what the office is?
It doesn't matter.
Exactly. Who works there?
People who are idealistically driven towards deregulating and getting rid of government programs that help people.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. No, it is. But they'll find people to work there.
Well,
that's not the problem. So Alex is he's decided now that Trump has taken office and there wasn't, some sort of crazy event that ended up getting, maybe an assassination or something.
Sure.
He's safely in office. And now Alex can use his Department of Justice to go after the people who have sued him.
Yeah.
We will restore fair, equal and impartial justice under the constitutional rule of law.
Yeah, they've been using this whole bankruptcy publicly to try to find something to put me in prison. And that's,
we are going to bring law and
that's illegal, but
back to our cities.
Then the bid rigging, all of it. Criminal referrals.
This week,
and I am going to be meeting with the Justice Department.
The government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life.
Balkanization. Divide and conquer. Call it out. Don't give it lip service. Explain what it is. Ban it with executive orders.
We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based.
Meritocracy. Federal law, no federal money to any wokeism.
As of today,
yeah,
it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
And they're going to ban men and women's sports. Roll it back. They made their move. They failed.
I mean, just trash.
An inauguration speech.
Yeah.
What a world.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't prefer the gentility of the Bush Nazis.
Sure.
You know, But at the same time, boy, those speeches were a lot easier to listen to.
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, like, you're in the shallow end of the pool right now.
Sure.
This gets a lot worse.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Trump gives two speeches to different audiences.
What?
On this episode. So you'll get to see him in different environments. This is the good, controlled, on-message Trump.
Boy, bring back, the French don't have a word for entrepreneur. Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, he's going to make the government policy that there's only two genders, which is cool.
Great.
Alex talks about how the people, we're not going to fall for globalist tricks anymore.
No, because we've defeated the woke mind virus.
Right. We figured this all out.
Yeah.
And then Alex immediately falls for a Trump trick.
The cultural awakening of the globalists and all their operations. The public's becoming fully inoculated psychologically, culturally, spiritually to it, is rejecting it. Even if they kill Trump now, they'll never be able to reverse it. The woke mind virus is dead.
Hey! 5 points.
Their depopulation operation, they've hit us. A lot of people are going to die from the shots. We didn't get out of this without being bloodied, but they're done.
And admiration of the entire world. A short time from now, we are going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, and we will restore the name of a great president, William McKinley, to Mount McKinley, where it should be and where it belongs.
Reversing Obama right in his face.
Okay.
The power to pull down all of our icons.
Yeah, like McKinley.
All right.
I feel like Alex should be a little embarrassed about this. Like, his career has been long enough that he remembers the Freedom Fries thing during the Iraq War. So when a demagogue-type leader is trying to pop a crowd with this kind of meaningless, pandering, linguistic bullshit, alarm bells should be going off, maybe. It doesn't matter, though. Like, if George W. Bush had just been a little bit more opposed to the Civil Rights Act, I bet Alex would have fully supported the Iraq War. He would have been fine.
Does feel like that.
So in 2015, Obama's Secretary of the Interior followed up on a motion made back in 1975 by the governor and state legislature of Alaska to take Mount McKinley and revert it to its original name, Denali. It wasn't a woke thing where McKinley was canceled. It was the desire of the Alaskan government 40 years prior, based on the fact that the Athabascan land was where this mountain was, and that was the name that they had for the mountain. Also, because President McKinley never visited the mountain, he didn't even go to Alaska, and he had zero connection to Alaska that would make this name appropriate to defend for the mountain. You know, like, there's no reason his name is on that mountain.
Yeah.
He's from Ohio, and representatives from Ohio consistently have blocked the efforts to change the name to Denali that the Alaskan government has wanted.
Right.
Because it was named after the president that's from their state, and it would look weak to let the name be changed.
Right.
And so in 2015, they finally just were like, we're going to accept the Alaskan government's request.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that all makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of everybody involved for spending a lot of time and money on it.
Well, and the only reason it was ever named Mount McKinley is because McKinley supported the gold standard, and a gold prospector found the mountain and originally named it. Because he was trying to give a PR victory over William Jennings Bryan,
everybody's
who
doing
wanted
great.
The silver standard.
I think everybody's always made sense. I think that's what's going on. The problem is people have made too much sense for too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's literally no reason for this mountain to be named Mount McKinley.
You know?
It's so sad. This is all incredibly stupid.
Everything will... From now... Here's my plan. All right? New Jordan executive order... Everything is named blank Mick what it is face.
Executive Jorder.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Man.
That's the way we do.
It's imperfect.
Mountain McMountain face. Done. Next. Every single thing. That's all you can call it.
There are going to be a lot of mountains named that.
Lakey McLake face. Done.
There's 10,000 of those in one state.
You got it. Too bad. I hope you don't know where you are.
So Trump finishes up his little speech.
Sure.
And Carrie Underwood comes out to sing America the Beautiful.
Great.
And there's some tech problems.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, performing America the Beautiful, please welcome the Armed Forces Chorus and Carrie Underwood.
Oh.
After this, I've got some things I need to say here to the listeners. I've not been talking about the situation in InfoWars for months because we were focused on this, but we're key to the ongoing information war, as you know, so I need your support.
How did that turn into I need money?
Uh-oh.
Little technical thing there.
Oh, my God.
This is quite the pause.
This is quite the pause.
Look at Harris. Look at Biden. Look at those people.
You've got nothing.
What is happening?
To kill him. The ones that want to cut your son's genitals off and cut your daughter's breast off and
sure.
Cut her forearm muscle off to create a rotting penis.
Yeah.
They're the pedophiles. They're the Jeffrey Epstein client list. They're the people that bet on evil, bet against you. So we've got a technical issue here. Biden earlier was sleeping.
Got him.
That video's up on Relox Jones on X.
Why?
Fun.
Wonder if there's some sabotage going on.
Yeah, it's probably a false flag.
I think this is
Tech's not working
sabotage.
Because of false flag. They're false flagging Carrie Underwood.
Yep. A guy who's already survived one assassination attempt. The next one was just fucking with the sound.
Yeah, it's payback because Klaus Schwab, he lost. He came in second on American Idol.
Ooh.
To Carrie Underwood.
Dancing with the Schwabs.
He was known as Bo Bice back then. Was that the same season?
No idea. Remember. Never watched it.
I just remember the name Bo Bice.
I think I watched like two episodes of American Idol all the way back whenever the She Bangs Hun.
William Hung.
William Hung was on there, and I felt so bad.
I watched one episode of the first season and famously declared that Kelly Clarkson's the winner.
Oh, you did on the episode one?
It might have been like episode three or something. It was early in the season, but I declared it.
Which?
And then I was like, I never have to watch this show.
This is...
I nailed it.
Yeah, you got it once, you nailed it. Yeah. This is 1,000 episodes all over again. This is all you.
And then I watched from Justin to Kelly three times.
Three times. Famously declaring that she, Kelly Clarkson, won that one too.
The movie's pretty good.
Mm.
Carrie Underwood finally gets up. Sure. She's going to sing the America the Beautiful, and she does it a cappella because the music's not working.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Good for her.
Alex accidentally reveals he doesn't know the words.
Well,
you know the words. Help me out here. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies.
Oh, this makes it better. She didn't need the music. It's a Bill O'Reilly. F it. I'll do it live.
For purple mountain majesties above the...
And then everybody joins in. They wouldn't have done it if the music had worked.
America,
makes it even better.
America,
and then Hillary has to join in. Look at that snake. And crown thy hood.
What? Wait, what?
Oof, that's embarrassing.
And crown to thy hood. Is that a KKK version of the song that we didn't know about?
If it is, I'm not aware of that existing, but it's possible.
Hey, crown to thy hood sounds very KKK.
So I looked it up, and Carrie Underwood was on the same season as Bo Bice.
Okay, got to get that one right. Got to get
what
that one
name.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Also, Constantine Maroulis. I remember that name, too.
Now, that's a name.
That was embarrassing. Yeah. I feel bad for Alex showing his ass like that.
Boy.
You really think that if you're all about Americana, these things that children all know the words of, you
sure.
Think that maybe that would be ingrained in you. Maybe you'd know the words.
Yeah. Boy, I mean, I'm personally against jingoistic songs on principle. Maybe, you know what? Maybe Alex is too. Maybe this is an unexplored thing that we haven't talked about.
He's definitely not.
He hates songs.
No. Definitely not.
Yeah.
I think it's fine if you don't know all the words.
Maybe he
but talks Alex's brand does not allow it.
He's too busy talking over the song.
Mm.
So if you're talking over the song, you just think every word is hood.
I get it if you're like, you know, some other song, like a rock song. Maybe if you have the wrong word. That's happened to me a thousand times.
Tons of times.
Yeah. A moment, yeah. A monument like this, that Kelly Clarkson song.
That was bad. Yeah. I think I genuinely don't know the actual words to any song by The Offspring.
Come out and play?
Sounds right to me.
Keep them separated?
I didn't know that was one of their songs.
Pretty Fly for a White Guy?
That one I did know.
Why don't you go get a job? Not the doo-wop. The Kids Aren't All Right.
They did not write a song called The Kids Aren't All Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
The Offspring.
Man, The Offspring, huh? Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of
How
songs.
How about them?
Yeah.
They've got more than five.
It's true. So after Carrie Underwood does her song,
yeah.
We get some prayers. We get some benedictions.
Got to have some prayers.
And here is one of them, a standout.
Okay.
Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and every molehill in Mississippi, from every state, every city, every village, and every hamlet. And when we let freedom ring, we will be able to speed up that day where all of your children, black men and white men, Protestant and Catholic, Jew and Gentile, will be able to sing in the meaning of that old Negro spiritual, free at last. Free at last. Thank you, God Almighty. We are free at last. If you believe what the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Come on, put your hands together and give your great God great glory.
Thank you, God. Yes, amen. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
So this is Pastor Lorenzo Sewell, who also spoke at the RNC and was one of the people giving a benediction inauguration.
Sure.
Incidentally, the next day after this, Sewell launched his own meme coin called Lorenzo, which had an initial $4.5 million market valuation and then immediately crashed 93% upon launch.
Sure.
Such a shame that just seems to keep happening to these very sincere and not scammy people.
Yeah.
In what is just a wild coincidence, our president and his wife both also launched meme coins just before the inauguration.
How about that?
It's super cool stuff how, like, untraceable and unregulated meme coins are.
Yeah.
They're, like, now a new way that someone could just shovel a ton of money to the president.
I mean, it used to be a lot harder to launder money.
Please consider the idea of Alex's response to a Joe Biden meme coin. The fact that Alex can have these kinds of things, just they keep happening all around him, and he continues to carry water for Trump, it's all everyone should need to see to know that he has no spine. There's no principles here. He's a fucking worm. This is ridiculous.
You know, I remember growing up in the church and reading, you know, and hearing many sermons given on that, like, Jesus, how do I pray? How should I pray? And at no point in time in the Bibles that I've read did Jesus go, put a little stank on it.
Mm.
God really likes it when you give a little to it, you know? Like,
yeah.
you don't want to have a half-assed prayer where you're like, oh, give us this day our daily bread. Well, fuck off.
In the Bible,
put a little stank on it.
In the Bible, it's very clear that if you give a subtle speech and prayer, you will not be able to sell your meme coin. Your meme coin is contingent upon
Render
making
unto
a splash.
Meme coin, what is meme coin?
Yeah. So Alex thinks about how great his view counts have been.
What a world.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's surreal.
Yeah.
But it is critical that we stay on the air. So remember, the bad guys want this show off the air. They want our reports off the air. We are, by the grace of God, working through Elon Musk and all of you, reaching conservatively. I hate to even say it. The bad guys already know it, but it makes them come after us more. About 150 million views a day on Real Alex Jones alone right now. Okay, so, and it's going, I mean, we're talking scary right now, okay? I mean, this is like, I don't count score because my mission is not to be number one because that's the most dangerous position. Only everybody know what's going on, so I become obsolete.
You're literally counting score.
I mean, the most.
A billion people a day right now, and we're reaching over 150 million conservatively, and it's just a testament to how hungry people are for freedom. And that's not counting all the other places or the clips or people copying what we do and putting it elsewhere. I can't even keep track of it. Thank you, God, for working through the population to do this. It is you sharing the live feeds. It is you sharing the clips. it is you that is doing it. When I say 150 million, that's conservative right now.
Okay.
So this is now back where it was 7-8 years ago, the number one English-speaking political broadcast in the world, bigger than Rogan, bigger than everybody else. And look, it's not about count and score. It's about what you did and what
I'm doing it twice, though.
So Trump is going to dominate now and reach even more people than Elon. Elon, with his media reach and tirelessness, has been reaching at least 1 billion people a day.
Amazing. So Alex really needs to understand that most of those views on Twitter aren't real. There's tons of bots, and his community is rampant with inorganic traffic. There's a reason we constantly hear him talk about how the traffic is way up and it hasn't translated to any more sales. It's because he's fishing in a dry well. Back in the day, an increase in traffic to InfoWars, their website, that would translate to increased sales because you were actually capturing an audience. People went to the site and actively engaged with it in some fashion, and Alex did a decent job of making the site look like it was providing actual information. It was easy to get directed to the site and then convince yourself that you'd found a real alternative voice. But now it's all Twitter shit, and no one cares. No one's going to click through the link to InfoWars, and even if they do, no one's reading those dumbass articles. The audience is almost entirely trained to take in sensational headlines and memes and little snippets of video that affirm the position they already had and pretend to prove a point they want proven. It's fully satisfied by Twitter. And now, for Alex, like, he's in the good graces of Twitter, so his shit gets some traction and it gets reposted by the dipshits on that website, but no one cares to go to his website. He's not creating any real audience or followers because there's nothing that he's offering that really is any different than 1,000 other idiots on social media. Also, he's nowhere near as big as Rogan. And I would guess that he's not, like, considerably even close to, like, a lot of other English-language political dum-dums on Twitter. Alex spams posts on Twitter, so even if the number is as high as he's claiming of views, it's the average is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, the average is much lower. It's just you posted 100 times.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember first hearing about dead internet theory, being like, what a fun, like, thought experiment. And it shows that, because, you know, when you start to really notice things and you don't let things just fly by, mm-hmm. you start to go and like, oh, this is absolutely inorganic, and this is inorganic. And you're like, ah, but there's still real people on the internet. 5 years from now, I don't think there will be. It's too exhausting.
If it's meaningful at all.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, the thing that I think about this is, like, I think that Alex is stupid to take these numbers and act like they mean something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's to his detriment if he really believes these numbers and cares about them.
Yeah.
So I encourage this. I encourage him thinking that he's bigger than Rogan.
Yeah.
Because it's hubris.
Well, to a certain extent, like, here's what I can see making more sense for these people. It makes more sense to create an AI chatbot version of Alex Jones who tweets things for people's AI chatbots to click on.
Chase is probably doing most of the tweeting.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, so my bot that I've created can engage with Alex's bot, and we can just all move on with our day.
Yeah.
Like, it makes more sense than actually being like, oh, I'm angry about this now. What?
That's what the founders dreamed of.
I think it's what we've
all... that being the public discourse.
Really just remove ourselves entirely.
So we're in a battle between good and evil.
Okay.
We know that. Satan,
all right.
Old Scratch.
Oh, boy.
It's always a fight between good versus evil. That fight starts right in our hearts and our minds and our souls. But God is real, folks.
Sure.
And evil is real as well. And the first step is recognizing that and then deciding which side you're going to be on. So for myself and the crew and my family, you are a family. We are part of the family of love and of justice and of truth.
Thanks, Pops.
And they try to say we're liars. They try to say we're corrupt. They try to say we're deceptive. They try to say we're Machiavelli. It's the opposite. We are 100% straight shooters, and that's just my nature. And so it's not even trying to be good. It's not even trying to be strong. It's not even trying to be honorable. It's just what I do. And there are a lot more of us than there are the bad guys. And the bad guys are failures. They're losers. They chose the wrong side. And quite frankly, I feel sorry for them. As Christ said, you know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. All of these slaves of Satan are just been incrementally deceived until where they are today. But there are some truly satanic, demon-possessed people at the top who aren't even human, and God is going to deal with them. But we have a job to do, waking people up now. People are awake that they've been lied to, awake that there's a problem. But now they need the specifics and the details. So it's very, very simple. I need your commitment to go to the AlexJonesStore.com.
Very simple.
Smooth.
Very simple.
Yeah.
Do
you want to fight the devil? Buy a shirt.
At this point in time, I bet that works a lot better now than it did like 6 years ago. Because there's a part of me that's like, man, I'll take anything more simple than what's going on right now. Buy a shirt? That makes as much sense to me as anything
it's
else.
It's an actionable item.
There we go.
You know?
Shirt bought.
Click.
Solved it.
Devil vanquished.
Cram it, devil.
Yeah, and while the devil is non-existent and a figment of Alex's imagination, your shirt actually does keep the devil at bay.
There are downsides from my point of view.
I mean, buying the shirt or not buying the shirt, you're still going to avoid demons. And why not buy the shirt and, you know, get the placebo effect?
Maybe that's a secret compact that the devil has that we didn't even know about, right? If you just do a thing and somebody's like, hey, this will keep the devil away, the devil has to abide by that, you know?
The biggest lie that the devil ever pulled was t-shirt sizes.
I think so. Absolutely. It doesn't matter what size. It doesn't matter what size. One size fits all to keep the devil out.
So we know that Trump, a lot of assassination attempts on him during the campaign trail.
Tons.
There was the shooting in Butler.
True.
There was the guy at the gun at the Mar-a-Lago.
Does that one count?
I don't know. There was the gas attack that Alex has forgotten about. Because
there was a gas attack?
Remember in Arizona?
That's right.
Yeah. At his speech.
Right.
Everyone went blind.
Yeah. There's the fake gas attack.
Right.
Yeah.
Alex has ignored that and decided we're not going to.
It didn't happen.
It didn't test well.
Right.
With the audience.
Right.
So now we have another Trump's going to be poisoned.
Okay.
Trump is still under fire. And they're going to try to get him with poison next. You can absolutely, that's the move to try to kill him.
Sure.
And they could use electromagnetics, you name it. They could still shoot down his aircraft, but he's got a lot more security now being the president with the anti-missile systems they have. That's their move there. And then it's the false flag on the migrants. And Homan discovered what they were up to. It is definitely hitting on all cylinders, so that's a big development. We've got the pardons, and again, that's the deep state running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
So now Trump is going to get poisoned, but I very strongly recall Alex talking about how God gave him a prophetic vision of Trump's plane blowing up.
Sure.
And how he needed to get this warning direly to the president.
Yeah.
I guess that's not happening now.
Well, he got there. I mean, you know, the warning got there eventually.
Yeah, we solved that one.
Yeah, that one got taken care of.
Crisis averted.
You know, it strikes me.
Mm-hmm.
That America's not really poisoners.
Mm.
We don't really poison. You know, like there have been plenty of empires. You poison the guy, you take the job. That's the way it works, you know? Mm. We're all shooters. In terms of like presidential situations, it goes all the way back. You know, people just keep using guns.
Yeah.
I can't think of any president that was successfully poisoned, even like a little bit.
What about by the weather?
Well, of course, we've definitely got
weather poisoning.
We do have a weather murder.
Yeah.
God actually did kill that one.
That wasn't poisoning, though. You're right.
Yeah.
I think it's not in the dramatic style of the Americans.
It's not Americans. Yeah.
We like the bang bang.
It's got to be straightforward, and I got to see your eyes when I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Trump's going to get poisoned.
Sure.
And also, hey, remember that whole catastrophic contagion thing?
I do.
Yeah, no big deal.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Don't worry about it.
That's nice.
We're not going to do a bioweapon.
There's some good news today.
They may gamble or release something really nasty. But because they're not in full managerial control right now and know that Trump's wise to them, that option really won't work. Poisoning him and saying he died in his sleep or had a heart attack is going to be their prime move. That's threat number one.
Sure.
Then they're going to try to sabotage the economy with a private Federal Reserve that's going against the policies of Trump already, and they've said they're not going to resign even if he orders it. Under the law, they don't have to. Then Trump just goes to Congress and says, repeal the Federal Reserve Act, nationalize it. It's private. So they're going to
hit
the economy. They're going to continue with their operatives inside the intelligence agencies and military try to destabilize things. They're going to try to poison Trump. But the big domestic thing is going to be a false flag against a bunch of illegal aliens and a big demonstration. truck bomb, mass shooting, something like that, to blame a Trump supporter or supporters. And then they give that as the pretext to order the Black Lives Matter crime syndicates and others, and the communists and the Antifa, to torch a bunch of cities, and then try to use that as the pretext to drive Trump from office. Wall Street would turn against him at that point, plunge the stock market to create fear. The bankers would go on TV and say, if you just get rid of Trump, we'll stop what we're doing. It'll be very veiled, but thinly veiled.
Sure. Why not just poison him? They can afford it.
That's the move, because they've already persecuted people around Trump, and most of them flipped in the last 8 years. Now he's surrounding himself with people that have all been persecuted and aren't wimps, and who are fired up and excited about the animating contest of liberty.
This is a fun creative writing session where we're just kind of trying to get the plot for a thriller going, but it feels kind of like someone just talking shit.
Yeah.
And contradicting a great deal of track that he's already tried to lay.
Yeah.
If the bioweapon thing is no big deal, then, like, what? How is that possible? That was all you were talking about.
It was really important for a very short period of time.
Huge breaking news.
Yeah.
So I would like, if Alex is going this direction, call yourself out about
how
that was...
You would like to keep score.
Yeah, I'd like to keep score on that one.
I would like to keep score, yeah.
Explain why you were wrong about that.
Yep.
Explain why God misled you about all these things.
Sure. It would be nice if God... I mean, maybe you explain it, and we'll talk to God later, and we'll compare those explanations and see if they're the same.
We'll have to do a follow-up.
Yeah. I think God. We definitely need to... We need to have an independent conversation there.
Just ridiculous.
Mm.
So, yeah, I guess fun plot. We'll see how any of that tracks with... reality, but
man, you know, he's just so fucking old. Like, you know what else is possible? He could just wake up and die. Like, that's how it works.
When Alex says that, like, the most likely thing is they're gonna poison him so he has a heart attack or whatever, all I hear is, like, that dude's unhealthy.
That most likely thing is he's just going to have a regular ass heart attack
and we're gonna
die.
Have to make the most of it.
And there we go. And then we'll all just be like, well, I guess maybe he was too old.
It's probably the globalists. They fucked with the sound. They killed him.
Yeah, I mean, he could have a stroke because he's fucking old.
True.
Yeah.
So Alex seems to be pretending that he's going to sue people sued people.
Okay.
There's apparently a bunch of cases.
Great.
In the works that no one wants to talk about.
Good news.
That's where we are. But it takes a lot of funds to be battling the appeals and all the federal filings and federal lawsuits we filed. To put them on the defense and to get documents. And boy, have we gotten documents. I'm just going to stop right there. I've been asked not to tell you yet. But you think you've seen some stuff so far that doesn't look too legal. Very interesting depositions that have been going on that I haven't even gotten into. And you notice the media can get all of that in the court filings. They've not told you about all the lawsuits we file. Not seen one word about it in the last 3 months. It's been static. And I've not talked about it either.
Okay.
And have we gotten some information? Because they think if they just document what they've done, that makes it okay.
What?
It's like the analogy is serial killers, you know, that videotape them torturing and killing people. It's like, well, that makes it open and shut. That's the analogy. I'm not saying they've done that.
Now, what?
They murder the First Amendment and murder my name. They fear me as a populist leader. So they're scared people actually tune in and hear what I have to say. Well, how'd your bullying and attacks work out for you, Deep State? How'd your attacks on Elon Musk work out for you? As they brainwashed and took away his son, the school system in California had no idea. Told him he was a woman, told him to hate his dad. Elon nicely just said, can I just see my son? They said, F you, we got control now. Demons that thought they'd captured the flag, captured the standard, like a Roman standard. We got Elon Musk's son in our cult. Well, how'd that work out for you?
Sounds legit. So I think that there's something really fascinating here. Not the surface stuff, but there's an idea that Alex seems to be suggesting where murderers will record themselves committing these murders.
Sure.
In order to get off from the charges. Like the globalists
think
that
they can. Is that what he was saying?
Well, he said that the globalists think they can get away with these things if they document it.
Right.
So the analogy has to be that the murderer thinks they can get away with the crime by right. documenting it.
But that's not what I feel like he was saying.
It can't be, because it makes no sense.
It makes it.
And that's not why people would record themselves.
It makes
committing
the opposite of sense. It makes the opposite of sense.
Yes.
It is almost a full frontal assault on sense making as a concept.
Yeah. I don't know what other point he could have been trying to make.
No, there's no other point he could be trying to make
unless,
other than the opposite of the one he did make.
Because I guess you could see what he's saying as the murderers will record all this stuff to make it like, eh, it's easy whenever you want to prosecute me for this. Let's not drag this out.
Is that what it is?
It can't be.
It can't
be. Because then the globalists are recording themselves doing all of this evil in order to make it easier for Alex to prosecute later?
I guess.
This makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I feel like what he's saying is that in the course of discovery, people do have to give me documents, those idiots, because I don't do that.
Hmm. People play by the rules, which is foolish.
Bunch of idiots.
So Trump gives another speech.
Yeah.
Catches Alex a little bit off guard.
Sure. Well, it doesn't need to be happening.
Nope. Sure doesn't.
But Steve Scalise is... He's our hero because, you know, I was with him. You talk about being shot. With
him. That's actually very funny.
She really loves him. You never know about that. I've been with other people. They were doing poorly, and the wife is like looking at a watch. She can't get out of the hospital fast enough. How's he doing? I don't know. He's all right.
We doing
that
bits?
That woman was a mess.
We're doing
he
bits.
He is crying and crying. No, they're going to take him. They're going to take him.
This man is off message.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I mean, there is something very funny about, like, you think I was shot. This
I
guy
mean,
got shot.
That's very funny. That is legitimately funny.
It's very tonally different than the previous speech.
Yeah.
It's very clear that no one prepared
oh,
this.
Oh, beautiful for spacious. Oh, my God.
This is like somebody who has done a showcase spot.
Yeah.
And maybe not done great.
Nope.
Didn't get the reaction from the crowd they wanted. Felt like they're just going through the motions.
I'm gonna go do a mic.
Exactly.
I'm gonna go do a mic afterwards.
I'm gonna go talk to these degenerate fucks.
I'm gonna go do a mic. I'm gonna be like, hey, my earlier show tonight, they didn't get me.
Right, but you guys do.
You guys, you other dirtbags, you and me together.
That's the energy
God.
He
yeah.
has.
It is very much that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in my element.
Finally, I'm back to the good stuff.
So he ends up talking a bit about how, like, you know, that speech I just gave.
Yeah.
I meant to get to some other stuff in there.
How is that possible? Someone just stop him.
So he gets to the stuff that he meant
to
get
to. Put him in a room somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was going to talk about the J6 hostages.
Hostages.
Because, you know, it's action, not words that count. And you're going to see a lot of action on the J6 hostages. See a lot of action. And I was going to talk about the things that Joe did today with the pardons of people that were very, very guilty of very bad crimes, like the Unselect Committee of Political Thugs, where they literally, I mean, what they did is they destroyed and deleted all of the information, all of the hearings, practically not a thing left. They deleted all the information on Nancy Pelosi having turned down the offer of 10,000 soldiers. You wouldn't have needed 10,000. You could have had 500, and it would have stopped. Because
okay.
We had a million people that day, the people that were there. You don't see any photographs, but we have a lot of great photos. But you don't see those photographs. They don't put them in. They show the people at the Capitol. But I was talking about that. I was going to talk about that.
You're going to get to that? I meant to get to that in my last speech. I think that there must be some more reaction that's going on in the room, but this is mic'd poorly.
Yeah.
So it ends up sounding like just a lunatic.
Yeah, this sounds crazy.
Absolutely just untethered.
You are the president.
Right.
What?
You have to go to, like, a crowd of your sycophants and do it, like, I
right?
meant to get to this little do-over from
this
your inauguration
is, this
speech.
It's just like the fucking billionaires. It's just like all of these people. Like, you won. Go.
Mm.
Go. What are you doing?
But I think this is going, because this is what he wants. I think that,
right,
like, you're getting a adoring response as opposed to, like, this formal proceeding, and that is what he wants.
Ugh, I know.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It does.
What's the point?
It feels weak.
You could have just stayed home and gotten this exact same reaction.
Probably.
Yeah.
So he rambles a bit about Biden's pardons.
Sure.
I will say that he's not correct about the January 6th committee, but whatever.
Sure.
He rambles a bit about some other pardons.
Okay.
Not of Biden's family.
No.
But death row inmates.
Sure.
They said, please don't bring that up right now. You can bring it up tomorrow. I said, how about now in front of the very... I'll bring it up right now. You know, this little time delay is good because we're getting great reviews on the speech. Now watch. They'll take the speech and say, I didn't like it because he left there and he's talked to people. We're giving you a little more information than we gave upstairs. But no, they pardoned a lot of people. They pardoned, before we even get to today, they pardoned, what is it, 33... murderers, absolute murderers, the worst murderers. You know, when you get the death sentence in the United States, you have to be bad.
No, you don't. Much. You don't have to be guilty.
Everybody having a death sentence. And if you went through the crimes that were committed, you wouldn't even believe them. The level of violence.
You wouldn't believe them.
The people that were killed, the innocence of people that were killed and children killed by these people. And he pardoned them for whatever reason. He spared them, but they didn't spare the people that they killed. And, you know, who knows what happens in the future. It's one of the worst because a lot of times they let them out early after that. You know, they say you're going to be in for life, but then all of a sudden they get let out.
So before leaving office, Biden converted the sentences of 37 of the 40 current federal inmates on death row.
Sure.
He left Dylan Roof, Jokar Tsarnaev, and the Tree of Life shooter Robert Bowers on death row, but I feel like there's a good chance that Trump could pardon at least two of them. The overwhelming majority of people on death row are facing state-level charges, which Biden can't alter. There are over 2,000 people who are currently awaiting execution, and I thought Alex's whole thing was supposed to be anti-death penalty, at least in terms of the federal government. I can understand him being in favor of the states. You should probably disagree with Trump here.
Yeah.
He doesn't. And I think that that's kind of a fundamental problem.
It, you know, listening to these two speeches, right, back to back, it feels less like a person became president and more like the internet itself became president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this is a Twitter feed in lieu of anybody talking.
Right. And I think it's also like a real haunting snapshot of like the inauguration speech.
Yeah.
Was him pulling his shit together and as best as you can laying out these policies and these
it was Facebook.
Sure.
Right.
It's like, well, there's only two genders.
There you go.
We're going to treat cartels like terrorist organizations.
Yep.
You know, at least it has like some semblance of like, I'm hitting the bullet points.
Right. It's a Facebook post with all those things.
Keeping it together.
Right.
You know, it might be more like LinkedIn.
Okay, there we go.
Professional.
I like that.
And then this is more like Twitter.
This is straight up Twitter.
Just letting it ride.
Random ass thoughts out of nowhere. Hey, you know, the death penalty is good. 37, 2,000. I don't know the difference. I am the internet.
You know what we forgot is that Trump has his own social media platform.
Why
so
not?
This is Truth Social, really.
Why not? Yes.
So Trump continues to ramble on about the J6 committee and how they destroyed all the evidence. And there's a helicopter tradition. I don't know if you know about this, but there's a tradition where the president goes to helicopters.
Okay.
You would have to go through the process because they destroyed all evidence. They deleted everything. There's virtually nothing left. The other fake story and so many other fake stories. And many people came out on our side. And those people now would get to find them. There's nothing left. So that's a criminal offense. If that were a civil case, it would be a criminal offense. If that happened civilly where you did that, it would be a criminal offense. So I decided,
wait, what?
I'm not going to make this speech complicated. I'm going to make it beautiful. I'm going to make it a unifying speech. And then when they said we have a group of people that are serious Trump fans, I said, this is the time to tell those stories. He knows. No idea. But seriously, I like to, I think it was a tremendous success. I think we're very lucky we put it inside because it is really cold. We just went to the helicopter out of respect. something that's taken place for a long time. I guess it's as old as helicopters. You
what?
You get into a stagecoach, now you get into a helicopter. Times change. But it's pretty old custom. And it's a beautiful custom, actually. It's a beautiful custom. I wish we could have had a better relationship. I wish we could have had a better relationship between Republicans and Democrats. I was with Senator Schumer. I said, Chuck, I think it's time we all start getting along a little bit because it doesn't make sense.
What?
I mean, we literally never get a Democrat vote. They never get a Republican vote, almost.
What is happening?
And although there is a bill coming up very shortly that we have a lot of Democrat votes, right? It's going to be a very beautiful bill. We're going to have a deciding, I would say, within a week or so, I think. And it's going to be a very good bill.
What a great bill. So what do you think about the helicopter tradition? It's a beautiful tradition. That goes back to the days of stagecoaches. And then the invention of the helicopter. That's when it all changed, from the stagecoach to the helicopter.
I just sometimes just, you know, whenever there's like one of those old books, old fiction books, before movies, before all of that stuff, and they would literally end a chapter with shakes his fist at the sky.
Yeah.
I feel like that's all I have.
Yeah.
Is shaking my fist up at the sky.
No, I can understand, because it's pretty bizarre to listen to long stretches of this.
It is crazy.
And for him just to be directly like, hey, you know what? I gave that speech where I was sort of playing it a little bit tight-lipped, and then I was told that I got a bunch of dipshit fans down here who will eat up anything I throw at them.
There we go.
So I'm going to speak freely in front of the indoctrinated.
How about that?
You can just say that, and it's fine.
It's just a thing you can say.
Yeah. So I thought that this was going a little bit off track.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we were talking a bit about the helicopter and all this stuff.
It was happening.
And it just seemed nuts.
Yeah.
Between the fact that the mic is not capturing whatever audience response there is, and the fact that he's not making a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
Even Alex realizes, I can't.
This sounds crazy.
I can't play anymore.
This sounds crazy.
Yeah.
And they say, you didn't build a new wall. Here we're building 50 feet up in the air, 30 feet sections, 50 foot sections, all steel, all concrete, all everything. And all, by the way, they don't even want me to say this, but what the hell, does it take that long time? They're all wired for all of the equipment. We put wires in everything so they can easily wire for all the different types of equipment. And if there's a doubt, we have to wire whenever we just look.
You can plug your iPhone into the wall?
Up top, so we can just hook it up.
That's nice.
We don't have to have wires on the outside, which wouldn't do too well, right? So anyway, so an extra 200 miles of wall. And the governor wanted to buy it. He tried to buy it, and they wouldn't sell it to him. He wanted to put it up himself. Could have been done in 3 to 4 weeks, 200 more miles. Because when you do it, now they just keep going further out, getting around. So we did an extra 200 miles, and it was all bought. And they announced that they're not going to put it up. And that's when I realized they wanted open borders, and that's when I realized that people were going to come pouring through the wall like nobody's ever seen before, but you've seen it.
We're going to go back to the president's addressing some of his supporters and some of his incoming administration. They're inside the Capitol. But I want to go back to last night with the foundational statement of the Prime Directive. That's what I believe is the Prime Directive. Expand liberty, expand freedom, expand consciousness, not just on planet Earth, but expand interplanetary.
Yeah, let's go into space. I think that Alex is realizing, like, as going on, this wall thing is a little bit we're swinging here. And then he sounds like a fucking child. This is when I realized they wanted open borders.
It's when it was going to happen.
So I think Alex realized, like, I got to get in there.
I
cut this off. This is coming off bad.
Here's what I'm thinking of, and here's what I'd like. I would like to know who blew Trump's mind with the whole, like, oh, we don't put the wires on the outside of the walls part. And he was like, genius. Because if it was on the outside, they'd be able to fuck with the wires.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are brilliant.
You know who it was? Idris Elba, star of The Wire.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be great. I knew Stringer had some bad ideas, but sometimes he's got good ideas too.
Yep.
Huh?
So Alex He's talking about going to the stars, and obviously this is about something that Elon had said the night before.
Of course. Why not?
So he goes to a clip of Elon speaking from the night before, and when that clip ends, he is not there to take back over, so they accidentally go back to Trump's speech.
Great.
And Alex has to kind of cover a little bit.
Oh, no.
And so he just mutters a bunch of sexual stuff about Melania.
Great!
I think almost every union was great. The only one that weren't great, Sean was great, and the Teamsters, the head of the Sean O'Brien, the head of the Teamsters, was
fantastic. Look how amazing Melania is.
But
that is a cool cat right there.
The union was against Trump, but the union would be with us for like 80-85%. Look what we did with the auto workers in Michigan. Look what we did with the Teamsters. The Teamsters were unbelievable. They were a solid Democrat vote. And they voted for Trump. So we had a great experience. This has been, now we have to go to work and get it done because we have to do something that's going to be great. We're going to turn our country around. And we're going to turn it around fast. And I think this was a better speech than the one I made upstairs, okay? I think this was better, JD. I think this was much better. And I got to see my friend. So, Governor, take care of yourself. You call me, we'll start working. You know what that means with him? He's going to be calling me tomorrow morning at about 6. And I said, how about next week? You call me, we're going to get it started real fast. We'll really help you a lot. You've done a fantastic job protecting something. It's not supposed to be for the states. And amazing job you've done. Thank you very much. And I want to thank everybody. And I have a first lady who's been incredible. I shouldn't say this.
In what manner?
I'm gonna get hell when I say this, but her feet are absolutely aching. You know those heels? And we thought we were leaving. We were going home. Sir, would you be able to go down and say hello to some of your other fans that are here? I said, oh, I didn't know that. Well, did you get to see pretty clearly the picture, I hope? Good. That's good. But because you wouldn't want to make the same speech again, right? But she said, darling, I love you so much, but my feet are killing me. I said, honey, let me just see how far it is. I asked the person. Oh, not that long.
I don't believe any of this happened.
That's 5 football fields. I said, can you make it? She said, we're going to make it no matter what. We're going to make it because we have to get it, right? And then we went out to the helicopter, though, just prior to this, and said goodbye, and it's a custom. And the wind
God,
is
those Eastern
like
European
crazy.
Women, aren't they the sexiest?
What the fuck?
I got a boner right after
what
that.
What the fuck just happened? Why does that need to happen? This must have been what it was like to be alive in the 60s, where that was like, that would be on the evening news. Is God, those Eastern European women are great. Anyways, the weather tomorrow is going to be, like, what? What is happening?
Well, Alex does smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Might as well. He's taking it back. He's a throwback.
Hard-boiled journalist like Edward R. Murrow, Alex.
So that was a 2.5-minute clip, and it started with him muttering about being attracted to Melania and ended with him.
Well, there wasn't much to learn in the mid-stretch.
No. But you got to think that that whole time he was just thinking, fuck, she's hot.
Either that or he was thinking what I was, which is, I don't believe any of this fucking story.
Yeah, I got nothing to work with here.
This is bullshit. Yeah. I can't, if there's only one thing to say, this man is lying for no reason.
I better sexually harass his wife.
Absolutely.
It's the only way out of this.
Hey, welcome to 2025, everybody.
So Trump wraps up, and Alex, he's got to get back to work now. And he's good at that. He's good. He's good. He's good at this stuff.
Great.
And our fight against the tyrants has just begun. Follow me on X at Real Alex Jones. Share the articles from Infowars.com, the live feeds from Infowars.com/show, band.video. But whatever you do, continue to promote freedom everywhere. And don't let the left bully you 1 millimeter. You let them know that you're aware of who they are and that their spell is broken. All right.
I quit. Time to go home.
I got a big job to do here. All these articles, all these clips in front of me are not props. I'm not tired. It's not that I don't want to cover all this. It's that I don't want to not do it all justice if I do get to do it.
Day one of Trump's second term, Alex is already back on this bullshit.
I mean, just fucking... This is
one of the few... I got too much work and I overprepared. What?
This is one of the few times where it's like, just go take a week off.
Yeah.
Everybody...
Celebrate.
Everybody party.
Yeah.
I would be... I would be so happy if everybody was like, well, we got our guy, so this is now party week.
Well, and the importance that Alex pretends to have and carry within these communities.
Yeah.
He should be in, like, war rooms and, like, board sessions.
Sure.
And figuring out. He should be advising all kinds of stuff. It should be Chase and Owen and them taking over. But, nah.
Nope.
Nah. He's just got to pretend that he's got prepared non-prop paper on his desk.
You know, and like...
Garbage.
Just be like, hey, today, this is all that's happening today.
Yeah.
We're just doing the inauguration today.
Yeah, why not?
I didn't prepare for other stuff happening because you know what? Maybe historically, today will be have one thing about it. It'll be the inauguration of the 45th and 47th president. That'll be the Wikipedia
Arguably,
entry.
Nothing else really ranks.
Yeah. So there we go.
So Alex has all these non-props on his desk, right? And you could hear him really slow down when he realized, like, I got to make excuses for not covering all this.
Right. Yeah, you really do.
And in this next clip, I really think you can feel his tone shift from this, like, I'm supposed to be working, I'm supposed to get this stuff done, to, oh, man, I'm talking shit. I'm free.
All right.
He ends up just flowing with bullshit.
Fun.
So the best way to do this... is to take a short break and get a glass of water and come back in here and nail these bastards again. And so that is what I'm going to do. And I just want to remind you one more time. How's it feel to not live on your knees?
There's the shift.
To say to the globalist scum that try to demoralize us and break our will, that you've not just failed at breaking our will. You've not just awoken us, but you have explosively triggered a seismic 10 on the Richter scale global awakening. And that's why the enemies of freedom are so scared. Because every trick they've got, every manipulation they pull, instantly turns against them. Now, they definitely set up the fires and did that on purpose. They got weather weapons. That's certified. I don't know.
You have weather weapons now. You have them.
I know they ordered the response not to help Christians or conservatives or white people. And that got confirmed.
So you can almost like literally see a hinge. Like everything changed at that one spot. He's like, I got to pretend I'm going to do my work.
Well.
Or.
How does it feel to be the best?
Hey, let's talk bullshit.
How does it feel to not have to be somebody who's under the DEI people now? How does that feel?
I'm going to ramble about stuff that doesn't really mean anything, but is fun.
Yeah, it is like this is the moment that all of them are... Because like in real people, you know, like the people that live their day-to-day lives are like, okay, we want these politicians because prices are blank.
Mm-hmm.
Food is expensive, insurance, etc., all of this stuff, right? And that's why we listened to all these dumb arguments, because we figured that the next day we would have more of that or less of that, you know?
Mm.
But now it's like, didn't you like talking shit?
Yeah.
Ah, I love talking shit. That was great. Let's just keep talking shit. Why would we do anything?
Well, and I think that there's a moment where Alex kind of realizes, or there's, you know, I mean, I don't think it's a like a first time realization or anything, but there's a recognition of like, this isn't what I do.
Yeah.
I can't do this. I don't want to do this.
No.
I want to talk shit.
I want to talk. I'm here to talk shit. God put me on earth to talk shit.
Yeah. Weather weapons, baby.
Why would I want the president to be the guy I want to be the president?
Right.
Ugh.
So it's time to talk shit.
Yeah.
Let's just talk shit.
Let's just talk shit.
Fuck those non-prop pieces of paper.
Hell yeah.
And so there are systems that are well known that create prosperity and freedom. We're going to promote those. And when you try to get in the way of it and violate our rights, we are going to stomp the living hell out of you nonviolently, politically, lovingly, culturally, economically. We're done.
Ecclesiastically.
Bowing to you and trying to pay you lip service so you go away. We know that only encourages you. So the gloves are off.
Why?
There's a real hunger to right the ship. So I would advise the minions of this system to understand that when I say you're defeated and your back is broken, that's a fact. And I know spiritually you hate those of us that don't worship your God, the old serpent. And I understand that our very existence is a burr in your saddle. I would suggest you get on your knees to God and repent. If you've got any humanity left in you, God will repair you. God will lift you back up. But you have to admit you've hit rock bottom and stop trying to claw us and our children into misery with you.
So I don't think we're going to get to those non-prop pieces of paper.
Doesn't feel like it.
No, it seems like we're going to go into a protracted diatribe about how the devil needs to repent and all this. Fun.
The old serpent.
Old serpent.
Boy, you know, it's tough to take your never-ending battle for good and evil seriously if you're like, I know your God. The old serpent.
The old serpent.
I know that guy pretty well.
I've wrestled with the old serpent a few times in my day.
Back in the old West, I crossed guns with the old serpent at the crossroads of, like, what are we doing?
Yeah. No, it's dumb.
Aren't you supposed to govern or something? Isn't that the idea now? Is like, oh, okay, now we fucking buy a road.
I don't think they really have much interest in that, nor capacity to. And so we got to do this stuff.
Let's talk shit about the old serpent.
The governing and all that stuff is kind of the analog of looking at all those papers on the desk.
It is exactly the analog of looking.
And that's
wait. Now we work?
That's not fun.
I thought we were just having a good time.
I'm going to go downstairs and talk to my cult members.
Yeah. Seems very hard.
So look, this next clip.
Sure.
It's 5 minutes long.
Jesus Christ.
And I apologize for that in advance, but there was no way around it.
Fair enough.
So Alex is doing an ad.
Okay.
And he gets lost in the middle of it.
I can tell from the 5 minutes of the clip.
This is groundbreaking stuff.
Okay.
We've never heard this before on the show.
Okay.
So, you know the quiet place of the Most High?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
A place where you commune with God?
Sure.
Alex enters it on air. He gets to the quiet place of the Most High.
Try to bring in the biggest selection and best Patriot apparel. Try to bring in the best supplements. Try to bring in the coolest knives. Try to bring in the coolest collectible coins. We bust our ass to do that and treat you like we'd be treated. And I'll tell you the marketing strategy around here. And it seems to resonate with people. There is no marketing strategy. It's whatever I think I like, whatever I think's cool, how I would want to be treated. That's the entire marketing strategy of the products we promote and sell is what is the very best, how do we get the best price, and whether it's a water filter, whatever it is, it's the highest rated, the best. And people go check it out. They go, wow, it really is. Yeah. Well, how are you selling the highest rated filter for 200 and something bucks and everybody else sells it for 350? Well, they're not even gouging you. I've had business people go, you know, your audience will still buy this if you sell it and get a major markup. And I'm like, I'd rather just, you know, sell the water filter and make 50 bucks instead of 150. And I would think you're going to sell more if you do that. But the point is that I neurotically try to bring you the best deals, just like I do with information. I want to be the best. I want to be the most accurate. I want to be the most godly I can be. And I'm not like a Pharisee or Sadducee or some Baptist preacher telling you he's holy and perfect. And I'm far from it. But my soul's pointed at God. And I, over the years, have gotten better and better and better and further away from the devil. Though, anybody that's got a big heart and a big soul, you know, has got a lot of stuff going on in there. And I have to every day catch myself having satanic thoughts. Thoughts of retribution, thoughts of power, thoughts of how easy I could just do this and crush them like that. But if it's immoral, if it has anything to do with deception, I don't do it. Because when I follow the Spirit, I feel so close to God and so good, and it's just so satisfying and so completing, so timeless. I can just stare into infinity, and it's a feeling of just beyond bliss. It's just contentment and purity and goodness. And that's not who I am. I'm fallen, but I can grasp it. I can feel it. I can see it. I can taste it. I can embrace it. And I can feel it over the years rising me up, purifying me through the fires of test, through the fires of tribulation. And so I pray to God to continue to sanctify me and lift me up and purify me, to lead God and direct me so that I might be a good and faithful servant, because I can't do it without you, God. I can't even begin to do anything without you. Only you. Only you. Only you can
make this world seem bright.
Purify me and sanctify me to be with you forever.
Close.
That is my only wish, is to be a true and faithful servant and to execute the duties the faithful way that you have given me. I love you, God. I'm so thankful for the consciousness and free will you gave me. Thank you, God. Thank you. Please neutralize the anger. Make me calm and focused. The quiet place of the Most High that the man you made after your own heart, King David, talked about in the Psalms. Take me to the place, the quiet place of the Most High. Then it's hard to do a show when you're in the quiet place of the Most High. The timelessness.
Are you fucking in this quiet place?
The completion.
You're fucking, are you?
But many of our people have never even glimpsed for a second the quiet place of the Most High.
This is gross.
Our mission is to encourage them by opening themselves to your will and your plan.
Did we get back into prayer?
The quiet place of the Most High. See, I don't ever go to the quiet place because it's so perfect.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
You'd hear the rustle of the angel's feet because he talked to me in a voice so sweet.
Ooh, look at that poetry. Beautiful. So Alex adding that part about the rustling of angels' feet makes me think he's trying to remember the lyrics to Johnny Cash's song, God's Gonna Cut You Down.
Okay.
Which he's used for years as a bumper song.
Right, gotcha.
This is all super, super upsetting.
Yeah.
He was just talking about how fucking hot Melania was a minute ago, and now he's sounding like he's gonna bust in the quiet place of the Most High.
That's the best place to bust.
It's so funny to imagine someone listening to that and actually thinking it was a person like having a sincere experience and not just being a super manipulative showman. Like, that's crazy.
That is nuts. That was a trip, man.
Ooh.
I feel like he bumped in and out of praying and was like, okay, now I'm not praying, but then back in me praying again.
Well, I think he was praying, and then he entered a trance state. He entered the Quiet Place of the Most High, which is too perfect to be in while he's on air.
I fucking love that Quiet Place.
Yeah, he started muttering real grossly. And then he came out of that trance and had forgotten that he had finished praying.
Yeah.
So he went back to praying after getting out of the trance state.
Okay.
So I think that explains that.
Okay. Now, let me throw this out at you. Maybe this is something that David and Alex knew, or David knew and Alex knows, that we just, because, you know, we see through a glass darkly, right? Is that
rose-colored darkly?
If you do make it all the way up to the Quiet Place with the Most High, hand jobs. It's hand jobs up there. God gives out hand jobs.
What about the? There's a little noise of the not quite as high, pretty high up. Like I'd like to go a little bit high up.
Are you talking about the bass system for?
No, I'm.
Are we developing a new, okay? First Quiet Place of the Most High.
That's way
hand
up
jobs.
There.
Sure. Right. Second Quiet Place of the Most High.
No. I'm talking about, like, only a few get admitted to the Quiet Place of the Most High.
Sure. Okay.
I could deal with a little below that where there's, like, some street noise.
Okay.
You know, like, some city noise. That's
sure,
fine.
Sure, sure,
I can
sure.
tune that out.
The Quiet Place of the Somewhat High.
Yeah.
Ah, all right.
Fairly quiet place.
Fairly quiet of the Somewhat High.
Slightly annoying, a but not a problem place of the... Pretty high up there.
The low background wail of the slightly above there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, Alex is... dealing with Trump's speeches the way he has is kind of funny, but then it turning into that is so goddamn funny to me.
I want
to
say that the way of dealing with Trump's speeches, first off, mature and responsible.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And second, Jesus Christ.
Well,
Jesus Christ.
I think that, you know, Trump came back and gave that second speech, which was a little bit off brand for what Alex wants the audience to experience Trump as.
Right.
He looks weak and Joe Biden-esque in his rambliness.
Sure.
So that's not good. And I think Alex made a good choice to try and cut that off.
Yeah.
Then went back to it. It ends. He realizes he's got to get to work. And instead of that, he just talks shit. And that leads to him pretending to go to heaven.
Yeah.
In the middle of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, sometimes... Okay, so
it's
here's...
So funny.
I'm not... Like, I like your grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Not you in specific, or you... The you in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that. But eventually, everybody currently over the age of 80 is going to die, and we are going to be better off for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not... No, I don't know when. I'm just saying that there's a light at the end of this old person tunnel.
Sure.
You know? That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Because this
you kill
shit
my grandpa?
Is crazy. This shit is absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Well, I mean, you know, we start off an episode with a feeling of, like, there is not really a ton of reasons to be optimistic. And
sure.
I think that the world is really difficult right now.
There you go.
But from our standpoint, Alex is still doing this.
Yep.
He has won entirely in terms of what you could conceivably look at as goals that he could have. And he's still on air pretending to go to the Quiet Place of the Most High in order to impress his audience into thinking that he somehow actually takes any of this religious shit seriously.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, some people are slaves to their own mind.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I wonder, like, genuinely, I feel like he's in a position to make the choice to be like, hey, I'm out. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Let Jason Harrison deal with
this. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
I can't imagine that he doesn't have enough money hidden somewhere to make it the rest of his life.
He'll be fine.
Pretty fucking comfortably.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's invested comfortably in other people who are just going to give him
but
money.
You know, it's the same reason that Trump goes and gives the second speech.
Just can't.
I think there's a
slaves
compulsion.
To the mind. Yeah.
I think there's a compulsion that Alex needs to pretend to be so pious on this show in a way that's supernatural and makes him the God's closest servant on earth, that, like, even if everything was good, he'd probably still
can't
be doing
not
this.
Do it.
Yeah,
just has to.
So take that for what it's worth.
I mean, yeah, it's
so when you go to the Quiet Place of the Most High,
sure.
You're suggesting that there's hand jobs, and Alex has done nothing to dissuade me from that.
Yeah,
your argument holds up.
I have evidence of hand jobs.
Circumstantial.
Agreed. Circumcised.
So Alex is not on that tip.
Yeah.
He believes that God talks to you.
There, oh, okay.
But not if you're a coward.
Wait. You can get there.
reach out to God. God comes to people in different ways, but if you do it with a sincere heart, it is the final frontier.
He has to show
up. These are the voyages of Starship Earth and all of us upon it.
Fucking hell.
The next phase of human consciousness and development is within our view in the distance. But before, we cannot even see it in the distance.
Sure.
The 1,000 years of peace is before us. But first, there will be another far more dangerous contest. But God gives us free will. God already knows the outcome. But God gives us free will. And there's a choose your own adventure, the way the future could go, the different possible futures. God already knows the outcome, but it was us that decided and will decide on the outcome. That's not an enigma. It's very easy to understand if you're in the quiet place of the Most High. Paradoxes within paradoxes upon paradoxes. Wheels within wheels. Plans within plans. Would you like to know more? I know I do.
Pick a goddamn reference!
But God doesn't talk to people that are cowards. God doesn't talk to people that don't follow the directives and the orders. Here's the clips. We'll be back.
Fuck me!
You're too scared to talk to God.
Fuck me!
You're a coward.
That was like fucking... There was some Star Wars. There was some Dune. There was some
Matrix.
Neo. There was some Starship Troopers in there somehow. Like, he definitely doesn't understand the Starship Troopers.
Probably maybe understands it too well.
Would you like to know more? Yeah. Yeah, yikes.
This is nuts.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Yeah, fill some time.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Is that the production meeting? Hey, what are we going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do?
Just fucking shotgun blast.
Just fucking go.
Sci-fi references.
Just fucking go.
And I hate that I'm in this position. I really, really do.
Sure.
But that needed a little drink.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I hate to be the guy who's like, you need to get sober.
Yeah.
You know, and then now he's probably sober. And I'm thinking that rant is epic.
Yeah.
When he's drunk.
Yeah.
Or maybe a little coked out.
Yeah.
It is not so great here. It seems sad.
I was more interested in him getting sober when I thought the arc of history bent towards justice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm way more interested in him drinking.
Yeah.
Go for it, buddy.
Yeah.
Fucking cap off.
If we...
brown bag,
if
buddy.
If we must tread this course...
Yeah. Then... I'm not doing it sober.
I probably have. I'm not really all that interested in the booze
right.
as much, but I'm now less sympathetic to Alex's
yes.
surroundings.
So do not get healthy.
For entertainment value, I need him to.
Cholesterol high.
So Alex talks to Roger Stone's lawyer, Tyler Nixon. They pretend that he's related to Richard Nixon. I don't really care about
That's fun.
But he does get to some of his news.
Okay.
So we'll jump off with this clip where Alex talks about the non-props that are on his desk.
Right.
This is crazy. The president of Planned Parenthood died right as everyone was getting seated for Trump's inauguration ceremony. Cecilia Richard, former Planned Parenthood president, has died. Interesting. We know the other former heads, that Chinese lady, I forget her name, that runs around saying, lock everybody up, take the shots, go to prison if you don't. She's crawled back from under a rock.
How's that connected? So Alex is just looking at fucking memes that he's either skimmed or he hasn't even looked at before getting on air.
Sounds right.
Cecile Richards was the president of Planned Parenthood from 2006 to 2018 and was diagnosed with a brain tumor in 2023. Pretending that her death has any connection to the inauguration is disgusting and meaningless reporting. This is crazy.
Like, yeah.
That being a story, connecting it to the inauguration when everyone was sitting down, the
right.
president of Planned Parenthood died.
Right.
Like, this is grotesque.
That is spoken of in the exact same way as, like, Noah receiving the dove. Like, oh, shit, God sent us a sign. We made it.
Yeah.
We done good, everybody.
They don't.
The former president of Planned Parenthood is gone.
They don't give a fuck at all that she hasn't been in that position for, like, 7 years.
Nope.
And that for the last year and a half, 2 years, her family has been dealing with her having a brain tumor.
Yep.
Like, this is something she's been wrestling with and fighting. It's not probably the most surprising death, but also surprising and sad.
Yep.
Like, Alex is just a piece of shit.
Yep.
And that's the non-props that are on his desk. This kind of coverage.
There
so,
you go.
Glad we were able to get to some of it.
We got a picture with slight meme-ish information on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
So this was a big day, obviously.
Yeah.
And later in this day, Elon gives a Nazi salute, non-Nazi salute.
Sure.
Debatable. Trump does all of his executive
sure.
orders that
sure.
start unrolling all of this crazy shit.
Yeah.
And so what I wanted to do was break that up a little bit. So I wanted to experience the inauguration, Trump's two speeches,
sure.
and then on our next episode, we will continue onward with Alex's take on, you know, his buddy Joe Biggs getting pardoned.
Sure. Great.
Yeah. All this crazy shit.
Yep.
So we will deal with this in bites. So this is where we sign off for this portion.
Oh boy.
But there's a lot more to deal with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a lot of processing. a lot of taking it in.
You know, when I go to the quiet place of the Most High.
When you jack off?
No hand jobs.
Oh.
No hand jobs for Jordan up there.
Okay.
Just a lot of frustration.
Sure.
I guess that's because I'm a coward.
I could see that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You're too afraid.
I'm too afraid to jerk off in front of the Most High. It makes sense. I'm too busy doing it in front of whatever Truman Show we're living in.
Your arms are too short to beat off in front
yep.
of God.
Yep. Haven't made it that high.
So we'll be back with another episode. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yeah. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo!
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.